We get it. After all the frustration, the endless cycles of hoping for a system that actually works, you're ready for something steady. Something that delivers without constant workarounds or headaches. That's why we're excited to introduce the 2025 redesign of the Buzz CRM. Built with you in mind, it's more intuitive, faster, and smarter than ever. Finally, a CRM that sees your worth, streamlines your workflows, and gives you the tools to thrive without needing to prove yourself over and over again. Because you deserve a lifeline after all those outdated platforms. You deserve a system that keeps up with your goals and grows with your success. This isn't just a redesign, it's a revolution. Visit thebuzzcrm.com today. That's thebuzzcrm.com. We get it. After all the frustration, the endless cycles of hoping for a system that actually works, you're ready for something steady. Something that delivers without constant workarounds or headaches. That's why we're excited to introduce the 2025 redesign of the Buzz CRM. Built with you in mind, it's more intuitive, faster, and smarter than ever. Finally, a CRM that sees your worth, streamlines your workflows, and gives you the tools to thrive without needing to prove yourself over and over again. Because you deserve a lifeline after all those outdated platforms. You deserve a system that keeps up with your goals and grows with your success. This isn't just a redesign, it's a revolution. Visit thebuzzcrm.com today. That's thebuzzcrm.com.
Hello and welcome to SEO 101 on WMR.FM, episode number 459. This is Ross Dunn, CEO of Stepforth Web Marketing, and my co-host is my company senior SEO, Scott Fanak. Hey, bud, how's it going?
It's, as always, the default answer, it's going great.
Good afternoon.
Yes, yes.
Well, today is a little different. I know we're doing the SEO learning series, but we're kind of behind on news. So today's going to be a news episode, and then we'll jump back into the SEO learning series in the next episode. There's just been so much going on, and we've been, we have to keep up with dates up to date on it, but realize you guys probably might be a little behind, because heck, I would be. There's so much happening right now. So let's just jump and dive right into it. There's been a bunch of core updates. Anyone with a website that's seen any fluctuations in rankings probably is quite aware of this. There's been an October and a November set of core updates. They're overlapping, including the review update and a whole bunch of stuff. So why don't you fire away here, Scott?
Sure, yeah. So the October core update ran basically most of October, the 5th to the 19th. And then a few days later, well, a week later, on November 2nd, a November core update ran from the 2nd to the 28th, so all month, basically. At the same time, there was a spam update in October and another product reviews update, which just finished December 7th, which for us is today. And that ran for a month. So like Google's overlapping all these updates, which is great fun, because if you decide to chase a problem, it could be one of four updates. Like how are you ever supposed to figure out which update caused the problems? But there's not a lot to say. Usually these updates, you know, back in the day, whenever there was an update, it was very clear. Google did an update targeting a certain thing. And if you crashed and burned, you knew it was because of that thing. Well, now it's not really like that. So there's kind of sort of some general advice to follow. And we've talked about this before, so I'm not going to go super deep into it. But if you found your site was hit in the last couple months, your rankings have tumbled, it could be one of the core updates, in which case it's generally related to content. What to do if you're hit essentially is make sure your content is original, comprehensive, interesting. Make sure your headlines and page titles are descriptive and relevant. Make sure your content is free from factual errors, grammatical, spelling errors, and that your site has a general positive user experience. That's sort of the best overall thing you can look into. It could be other stuff, but that's, you know, the best advice that Google and most people are giving related to core updates.
Since when does content have to be factual?
Since I just said it. Yeah, I said it, so it's factual.
That pretty much destroys half the content online.
Well, that's true. It's supposed to be, but is it always? Not the last few years. That's a whole other podcast right there. That should be our next episode. Just like totally go off the
edge. We've gotten great reviews of when we do that.
Yeah, maybe let's not do that. Well, we'll start a new one, and then you guys can join in on that one.
Yeah.
I'll get to the spam update in a sec. I'll just jump ahead in my notes to the reviews update as well. So there was a product reviews update again. Again, you know, it's kind of the same sort of stuff. If you have a review-based website, you really want to be doing this right. If you saw, you know, problems before, hopefully this review update helped your site rebound. A recap on what to do for quality reviews and help recover is, you know, make sure you're using firsthand information, prove your authority, you know, show statistics and research data and imagery and videos and tests, and don't just regurgitate other reviews for certain products. Include links to other resources, other sellers. Make sure all your media is original. And if you do all that kind of stuff, your review site should do well generally. Again, we talked about it in really long detail in other episodes. So yeah, I wish I had that number.
Be authentic. Do the work. I know it's a shocker. A lot of people are succeeding without doing the work, and that gets pretty tempting. I get it. But Google's not letting you do that anymore. At least they're doing their best not to. So get those videos, get those images. Again, make sure they're unique, copyrighted, whatever you can do to make sure that's authentically yours and you've proven that. And this also applies to when you're writing content. Maybe you're using AI to help you with your content. Hell, everyone is now. I am. The key here, though, is that it has to have that experience, right? So it's part of the reviews update in many ways. Google's always looking for low-quality content. Low-quality content typically doesn't have a lot of these elements we've just mentioned. Personal experience, unique first-hand information. I know I'm regurgitating this, but it's from a different perspective. It's important for you to know that simply using AI-generated content will never be enough. Even with some of the better systems that are out there, I've worked with a couple and they're amazing, really are, but they even try using colloquialisms, and it's stunning. Even add the odd bit of grammar in there. Poor grammar. It's like, wow, this is really impressive. Just to fake out these AI testing algorithms. The thing is, they're always going to lack personal experience. But logically, that's never going to be something you can fix. What I hope to see at some point is where you can actually just add a section into a form saying, this is my personal experience. These are some of the tips I personally have. Here are some quotes you can use, and then it'll generate. That would be amazeballs. I'd love that. That would be fantastic. So in a way, you can do that yourself using the right prompts, using ChatGPT. But I'm nowhere near as advanced as many people are who have been really, really digging into this into their prompts. But even I'm having a hard time doing that effectively. I'm getting better, but it's still very much trial and error. And anyway, got off on an AI rant there, but you know what? We're just about to jump into AI. So, hey, that's perfect. Google Gemini. This is really the sole reason I thought we needed to do this show. Or if you've been listening to the show for a while, you're familiar with Bard, or hell, just watching the news. Google Bard is Google's answer to Bing's AI and ChatGPT. So, what is it? Officially known as Gemini 1.0, it is a large language model that can work with all types of information, text, images, audio, video, or code. Gemini brings Google competitively closer to OpenAI's GPT model, unquote. That's from Search Engine Land. Now, I should note that's GPT's model 3.5. GPT has since launched 4.0. I've been using 4.0 and 4.5 for a while, and it's amazing, or 4.0, whatever, just short of 4.5, and it's incredible. There's going to be three levels of Gemini: Ultra, Pro, and Nano. Nano is specifically meant for mobile platforms. Pro is going to be their more robust version that the average user should use and can use. Ultra will be for very specific, really machine-intensive queries. I can't even imagine what that's charged for. I'm not even sure they have a price yet for Ultra. It's coming out next year. I'm jumping all over the place here, getting ahead of myself, but essentially, Google Bard now, what you see now, is powered by a fine-tuned version of Gemini Pro. This gives Bard more advanced reasoning, planning, and understanding, Google said, calling this Bard's biggest upgrade since launch. It's now available in English in more than 170 countries with plans to expand further in the near future. That's courtesy of Search Engine Land and some mix and match from Google Bard. In our show notes, there'll be some really useful links to different pages, including Google's information about trying Gemini AI. And this is part of what they can say here. They said here is, you can now try Gemini Pro and Bard for new ways to collaborate with AI. Gemini Ultra will come to Bard early next year in a new experience called Bard Advanced. Ultra, Advanced, Pro. I mean, it's a little bit insane. I'm expecting Super Gemini Ultra Plus in 2025.
all these words, in this world we live in, they don't have meaning anymore.
No.
Everybody's using them. And what does that even mean, right? Like, we need to invent a new word and then
super.
Take away its meaning. Super duper.
Super. Anyway, super. It's just a little overwhelming, and that's nothing unusual with Google. It's kind of funny how, you know, they have a filter that's supposed to filter things and make them better for the public. Can you imagine how much work they must have to do if that's what they consider better for the public? It must be so convoluted when the nerds get that info to them. These hyper brilliant engineers get this system together and they put it up. This is what we'll have. And they're like, oh my God, I can't give this to the public. Let's call it Ultra, Pro, and Nano. And oh yeah, there's another one that should be advanced. And oh,
and they'll make it advanced. Yeah.
Of course, they still have Google DeepMind, which all this stuff is hard to keep track of. And I won't get into what that all this stuff again. It's easy to find out what Google DeepMind is. We've talked about it in the past and what it does. But apparently, Google's DeepMind shared a report. It shared a report that found that Gemini outperformed GPT 3.5 for 6 of 8 industry benchmarks. But OpenAI has offered GPT 4 since March. Mike, this brand new car it beats that Pinto from last year.
Oh man, like my Toyota is so much better than a Model T. Yeah. It's like so much better.
But in the funny, you laugh and as do I, but I guess probably the leaps in capability from 3.5 to 4 could be close to that. I don't know how exponential it is, but I can see some of the differences. Lack of mistakes, far better understanding. If you have a question, this is stunning, and you may not have done this already, listeners, but if you have a question and you're trying to find an answer online, and just like, you can't put it into words. Oh my gosh, that happens to me a lot. And I do a lot of searching. I thought, what the hell am I doing? Why don't I just ask ChatGPT? Which is what I use primarily. I don't use Bard because Google decided to take forever to launch it outside of the US. So screw that. I'll try it now, to be fair.
Can we do the next SEO 101 and just ask ChatGPT to write us a script? And then we'll just do whatever it tells us.
Gosh, that would be funny. Actually, you know what we should do? We should do that and then post it to our Facebook page just so people can see.
As like a parody episode or something. Can we do the video too? We can do everything.
With predictions about the advancement of AI.
Oh, AI predicting itself.
I love it.
It's terrifying. I'm not going to sleep tonight. If it can give you an accurate prediction about itself, would that not define sentience right there? Like,
oh no, probably not.
No, I guess not. But
it'd still be fascinating. And the thing that I was getting at though is, I have these moments, and it's breaking through this level of understanding, and that this capability is even there. That I can just ask Bart, or I could just ask ChatGPT. I can just ask the AI my question, and it actually gives me a damn good answer. I actually was trying to figure out how to do something with AI. I said, how would I use you to do this? And it gave me an answer. It was perfection. And I was like, wow, I just spent half an hour looking for that answer and I could have just asked you. It's mind blowing.
Someday we're going to learn. It's just a room with a million monkeys on typewriters answering everybody.
Yeah.
But it's not even AI.
Exactly. So, Gemini has improved Bard by giving you more control. This is a quote from, did I not put down the link? not Sundar Pichai, but another guy on Twitter, another one to Google AI guys. He says, by giving you more control of hallucinations, there's an option to double check. I'll talk about that in a sec. More multimodality and integration with assistive capabilities, like assistant with Bard. Ah, unquote. So start off, what is multimodal AI? I had a good idea. I thought I better look it up and then read it off to you guys. It's something you're going to hear more of as you're in the game here. I've seen it a ton lately. It's actually quite simple. It's going to sound fancy here, but essentially it means that various data types such as image, text, speech, numerical data are combined with multiple intelligence processing algorithms to achieve higher performance. It often outperforms single modal AI in many real-world problems. So I guess it's like having multiple brains working on the same answer and then combining the answer into a single final result. And in this case, of course, it can do it in multi-modes as well in terms of the data being provided. Fascinating. One thing I mentioned here too was the hallucinations. This is another common issue. This is actually quite a new dictionary coming out. It must be the Oxford Dictionary must be having a hard time with all these, to me anyway, new terms.
As digital professionals and business owners, we understand the critical importance of a secure and high-performing website. That's why I want to talk to you about Kinsta, a managed WordPress hosting provider that delivers exceptional speed, security, and reliability. Kinsta's infrastructure is optimized for WordPress, ensuring your site loads lightning fast and ranks well in search results. They utilize Google Cloud's premium tier network and CD3 virtual machines, which significantly boost performance. In fact, Kinsta customers often experience up to a 200% increase in site speed just by migrating to their platform. Security is paramount, and Kinsta provides enterprise-grade measures to protect your valuable data. They are one of the few WordPress hosting providers with SOC 2 certification, guaranteeing the highest level of security for your website. Kinsta's My Kinsta dashboard offers a user-friendly interface with a comprehensive suite of tools to manage your site efficiently. From cache control and debugging to redirects and CDN setup, My Kinsta simplifies website administration. For SEO 101 listeners, Kinsta offers specific advantages. Their platform is optimized for speed, a crucial ranking factor in search engine algorithms. Their security measures protect your site from malware and hacking attempts that could damage your online presence. And their expert support team is available 24/7 to assist with any technical issues that may arise. Ready to experience Kinsta's hosting for yourself? Get your first month free when you sign up at Kinsta.com today. It's the perfect opportunity to see why Kinsta is trusted by thousands of businesses worldwide to power their websites. Visit Kinsta.com to get this limited time offer for new customers on select plans. Don't miss out. Get started for free today.
That are coming up. In this case, hallucinations and result is something that occurs when AI makes something up because it believes it to be true. I'm not explaining it perfectly. I know there's a better definition online, but that's kind of the concept. And so if you're not sure of an answer, there's an option within Bard now to double check it to where it does fact checking. How good is that is, I have no idea. This is the sort of stuff that has to be tested.
So the AI creates content. You're like, I don't know. Can you fact check what you just gave me? And then it fact checks itself and says, no, I'm right or no, I'm wrong. Whatever.
Yeah.
Essentially. Like how can you fact check yourself? It's got to be a different system doing the fact checking.
Probably. And yeah. Maybe it bases itself on trusted sources versus anything. I don't know. It's very interesting though. Definition of multimodal AI was courtesy of Amesoft. They had a great little description of that on their site. The Pixel 8 Pro phone will now have AI built in via the Gemini Nano system. So phones are now going to have AI built in, which is wild. Now, they say AI built in. Maybe it's got some of the code that will send the information, but I'm sure that it won't run without connectivity. I can't see how, because it has to work off a massive database of machine essentially a massive database that's online. So I don't exactly know how that's any different than Assistant, but I'm no engineer. Why does any of this matter? Essentially, Google's confirmed it will be part of the Google search experience soon. We all know that's going to happen. We don't know what it's going to look like, when it's going to happen, whether or not it'll succeed or fail. But, you know, Jim, Google's being very careful on releasing this, whereas Bing's pretty much got it in their system already. And I applaud them for that. Why not? Take the risks. Go for it.
Yeah.
Sundar Pichai on his Twitter has a great video example of Gemini in action. So you can see some of the capabilities of it, which I think is really helpful to picture what you can and can't do. Whew, that was a lot. Let's take a quick break and we'll drop some mobile usability report info, because that sounds so exciting. Good credit. All right, we'll be right back.
SEO 101 will be back right after recess.
Welcome back to SEO 101 on WMR.FM, hosted by myself, Ross Dunn, CEO of Stepforth Web Marketing, and my company's senior SEO, Scott Fanak. All right, I've talked enough.
What's next? This is so exciting, like you said, mobile usability report. So if you use the mobile usability report in Google Search Console, or you use the mobile friendly test, well, you don't use it anymore because it is gone. Back in April, Google said that it was going to sunset both of these tools. And they said they do it on December 1st and December 4th. I guess they gave you 3 days of extra time to use them. It is gone. So what does this mean for you? Well, it means you're going to be using Lighthouse now. If you used to use the mobile-friendly tests, Google now just redirects that old link to a page about Lighthouse, and you're going to use Lighthouse within Chrome. We don't use it a lot. I mean, we used to, for sure, when, of course, my wife is phoning me. I'll just, you know, it is muted. Good. We used to use it a lot, especially when mobile was just sort of starting to be important, because it, you know, it was kind of new. But now almost all sites are mobile friendly.
Mobile Geddon. Remember that? Well, that was big.
I don't remember that.
Oh yeah, that's what they were calling it. It was when Google was gonna go mobile first. Oh my gosh! If your website didn't have mobile, you were pooped.
You were done. Basically everybody's mobile friendly now, but you know, if you need to check, you can use Lighthouse or other tools out there. That's really all there is to say about that. So if you're looking for it and it's gone, now you know why. Simple. And so this is kind of fun. So Ross and I were both like, didn't Google already do this? So Google has added support for organization structured markup, and in a sense, additional support. So what that means is now if you go into the rich snippets tool for Google, you will actually see Google's a report on your organization markup and validate it and all that kind of stuff. Whereas before, you wouldn't necessarily see that. And they're also going to be using more of that markup in rich results, whereas they would have pulled some of that information from outside the structured markup. So yeah, this is the Google announced on the November 29th that today we're expanding our support for organizational information by extracting additional administrative data. The existing logo report in Search Console and validations in the rich results test are now replaced with more extensive organization validations in the rich results test. Those are Google's words, not mine. This is great. And it kind of shows why it's sometimes important to mark things up, even if you're not positive that Google cares, because they might care eventually, or they might be caring and we just don't know it. And so if you've already had this marked up, you're golden. You probably should have. If you don't, if you're one of our clients, you do. You don't have to worry about it. If you work with an SEO, you probably already have it marked up. And keep in mind, if you have local business markup on your site, local business is a subset of organizations. So you're good. But just make sure it's there, because it can help contribute to rich result enhancements, knowledge panels, help searchers more easily find information about your business that they're looking for. So
cool.
Fun stuff.
Yeah, totally exciting.
It's super exciting, but it's different. It's new.
Totally, eh? Yeah.
You're a Valley girl, though, all right?
Yeah.
I think I'm going to quit this show now. That's the last star right there. I can't handle it. I wonder if McDonald's is hiring. Calling it up. And so this is kind of fun. A little bit of information here. Back in September, in August, Google removed how-to rich results and FAQ rich results. And then in September, they extended that, and that's via mobile search. And then in September, they expanded it to desktop. And what that was is if you had how-to or FAQ data on your site, sometimes below your listing in the results, you would see those questions. This is not to be confused with the people also ask box, which hasn't gone away. But anyways, now they're back. How-to rich results and FAQ rich results are both back as of December. I don't know to what extent. Glenn Gade posted to X/Twitter that he's seeing them return. And good, I guess. You know, that's great. If it's something you relied on in the past, now it's back, you will hopefully see another jump in traffic related to that.
Yeah, and I think, I believe we even mentioned it in one of our shows when they announced this, that it didn't seem likely this was going to stick around. At least I was highly doubting that they would stop showing it. It has so much benefit to users. Maybe it was a test to see just how they could push the traffic elsewhere and whether or not they could make people happier. I don't know. No idea. But it was something they could never leave out. We look for how-tos all the time.
Oh, it just makes sense.
Yeah, I do think that a lot of the results were crap. So hopefully they've improved it a bit. Like, they had sites that were so packed with ads that getting to the how-to was torture. If you could even get through the ads or through the interstitials or the pop-ups and, oh my God, horrible. So let's just hope that was part of it. A little cleanup. So speaking from us, we're being Canadian podcasters here. This is good news. Google will pay Canadian publishers $73 million a year to keep news links in search. A new law in Canada, Bill C-18, which is rolling out on December 19th, is enacting the Online News Act. A quote from Search Engine Land, this act proposes a regime to regulate digital platforms that act as intermediaries in Canada's news media ecosystem in order to enhance fairness in the Canadian digital news market, unquote. Wow, it's wordy. Anyway.
Very wordy.
Very wordy. So, essentially, the bill forces tech companies to pay for news content, which is good. Google was threatening to stop serving news, just as Facebook has done for Canada, which is really annoying. I hate not being able to share a single news link on Facebook. I actually try to share stuff from the States, and it gives me the same thing sometimes.
Oh, interesting.
Yeah, I guess independent people, they don't know. I don't know. Or maybe it's from a CDN. Anywho, as a part of the agreement, they will be paying publishers $73 million a year. I don't know if this is... It's still proposed. It hasn't been signed, but it sounds highly likely that it will be. And I think it's a really good idea. These news organizations are necessary to provide a very dispersed words today. What is it? It's not even Friday. I like the variety of news that comes out of having more organizations versus just a couple that can afford to stay around. So I think this is a really good idea. There. Simpler.
Easy.
Okay. All right. Local SEO, what do you got here?
So this is kind of interesting. I just saw this morning. So Barry reported on it, and actually Joy Hawken actually reported originally that Google may be implementing a new ranking factor within their local pack tied to your current open status. So for example, if you open at 9 a.m. and someone does a search for you at 6 a.m., you're not going to show up because you're not open. And then at 9 a.m., you will show up again. So Joy had a few examples where she had searched for, I don't know what her exact search term was, but one was lawyers and one was psychiatrists. And the results, I think it was for one specific site actually, and the rankings were dramatically different before and after they opened. Barry went and did something similar with, I think web development was the search term, and his results were a little bit different at 6 o'clock and 8 o'clock and 9 o'clock. So they did vary, but not by a lot. So I think the jury's kind of still out. Is this a coincidence? Did Joy stumble onto something? Is Google implementing this? We just don't know yet. It's too soon. But I see pros and cons to it, but I feel like it would be way too easy to manipulate. If you're not open 24 hours, you're not supposed to say you are, but that's a workaround right there. So you fake it somehow. You just say you're open 24 hours and you try to back that up with Google, and you'd get around this quite easily. So not really sure what will happen, but an interesting potential change over with your local ranking. So maybe do a test. Do a search for your business at before you're open, while you're open, and after you close for the day, and see if you see a difference. It's going to be interesting, I think.
I suspect it's only in the States because it is early. So yes. To keep that in mind, I wouldn't bother trying it if you're in Canada or outside of the States. Maybe the EU, parts of the EU, because they do typically get some of this before us. But definitely if you're in the States, this is worth a test.
Yeah.
Okay. And now cool. You put a question in here. I'm pretty sure, or a comment in this case, that we did cover this ages ago, but it's still nice to mention. Peter Knight in our Facebook group said, just a heads up, but I used your podcast notes today to find the article you mentioned on Google AI, not necessarily caring if content is written by AI or not. Very useful resource. Keep up the good work. Well, thank you. It's nice to get some positive feedback, Peter. And if we're doubly thanking you, that's even better, right? We did it twice.
I wanted to include this for those that don't. So, it's a good example of why you should subscribe to the notes and check them out, because they are a great resource, especially if you're listening a lot and you want to get those links to things we're talking about. I'm just listening and then trying to Google search where that article is or where did we find that information. It's so easy if you got the notes. So,
yeah, and you can wait too. That we've completely rejigged how the notes are being done. It's much, much better than it was. So anyone who's gave up on it before, and there was a few that unsubscribed, and I get it. It was mostly just a dump of notes with some links. Well, now it's more structured. It includes important links. It's got a summary. It's got key takeaways. I think it's infinitely better. So I hope you enjoy it. And by all means, leave us some notes on the Facebook page, easily found by searching SEO 101 podcast on Facebook, and just tell us what you think, how we can improve it. We'd love to do that. I want to make sure that we're providing a great resource for the time we're putting in, okay? Well, on behalf of myself, Ross Dunn, CEO of Stepforth Web Marketing, and our company's senior CEO, Scott Vanak, thanks for joining us today. You hope you have a great week and a happy season in case you don't listen to the next episode in time or we don't get it out in time. Because that could happen.
That could. A few eggnogs and it might not happen.
Yes.
Awesome. Okay. Thank you for listening, everybody.
We get it. After all the frustration, the endless cycles of hoping for a system that actually works, you're ready for something steady. Something that delivers without constant workarounds or headaches. That's why we're excited to introduce the 2025 redesign of the Buzz CRM. Built with you in mind, it's more intuitive, faster, and smarter than ever. Finally, a CRM that sees your worth, streamlines your workflows, and gives you the tools to thrive without needing to prove yourself over and over again. Because you deserve a lifeline after all those outdated platforms. You deserve a system that keeps up with your goals and grows with your success. This isn't just a redesign, it's a revolution. Visit thebuzzcrm.com today. That's thebuzzcrm.com.
You're a startup founder. Finding product market fit is probably your number one priority. But to land bigger customers, you also need security compliance. Obtaining your SOC 2 or ISO 27001 certification can open those big doors, but they take time and energy, pulling you away from building and shipping. That's where Vanta comes in. Vanta is the all-in-one compliance solution helping startups get audit ready and build a strong security foundation quickly and painlessly. Vanta automates the manual security tasks that slow you down, helping you streamline your audit. The platform connects you with trusted experts to build your program, auditors to get you through audits quickly, and a marketplace for essentials like pen testing. So whether you're closing your first deal or gearing up for growth, Vanta makes compliance easy. Join over 8,000 companies, including Y Combinator and Techstars startups, who trust Vanta. For a limited time, get $1,000 off Vanta at vanta.com/simplify. That's VANTA.com/simplify for $1,000 off.